What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God.
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah. Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tying run at second, two out. Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws, out! And the White Sox have won the World Series. Juan Uribe with a play, charging it, throwing it, and the White Sox celebrate their first title in 88 years.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Rami Makhlouf, kind enough to sit in for David this morning. And we are delighted to welcome in Don Cooper, the former White Sox pitching coach, their former interim manager. And he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Don, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning. Nice to see you guys, talk to you guys again. It's been a while. Wish we had some better things to talk about, because we're going to be talking about Bobby today. It's a sad time, but you know, it's also, listen, I've been in contact with Bobby all the way through. You know, I mean, we've been talking even before he got diagnosed. We'd be talking. Bobby was coaching in the league up there, and you know, I think he liked calling me because he knew I'd pick up anytime of the night. And so we had some real good conversations. He wanted to get back in baseball. He went to the league in Chicago. He was trying to get back in. And, I think of Bobby in Chicago. You know, I think of the song Shooting Star. I mean, he was a comet, man. He was a star, a shooting star that came through people's lives in Chicago during the 2005 season was the start. And it was an amazing, amazing time, to tell you the truth. I have so many thoughts and memories about him. So why don't you just ask me some questions and we can get into some stuff?
Well, I think the main question that it would just be, you know, you want to celebrate a person at this point, 44 years old, so young. But, Don, what's your favorite memory of Bobby? What stood out to you that year? Yeah. 102 miles an hour, his first pitch, right?
And then, I remember the first night he came in. You know, we saw him in spring training. We knew he was doing well. The rap on Bobby was he was a little different. He was a character. He had personality. He was having fun. He was doing that. And we allowed that. You know, he wanted him to be himself. But I think what was lucky about, you know, hey, listen, the night he came out, there was oohs and ahs from everybody.
Yep.
He probably was ahead of his time. Now it seems like there's three or four guys in every bullpen that can do what Bobby kind of started. You know, but Bobby, he packed an awful lot of life in 44 years, you know. I've been in contact with him prior to his diagnosis and certainly a lot since his diagnosis. There's a 7-hour time difference in Portugal,
mm-hmm.
you know, so sometimes it was hard for us to have phone conversation. We had a few, though, and we were doing more, you know, corresponding through texts. But Bobby never let on, really, how serious he was. We all knew how serious he was, but he didn't speak of it to me. We all knew he certainly had a fight on his hands. You know, it's for me now, because I think it's because I've had contact with him for quite some time, that, you know, I'm mourning his loss, don't get
me
wrong,
right.
But it's more or less, I'm trying to fill my head with good stuff and all of the good moments that I remember with him. And everybody's got a handful of them. But, you know, Bobby came to our team at a critical time. You know, he instantly was helping us, and the big thing was he was throwing strikes with the tremendous stuff that he had. He had an outstanding fastball, an outstanding curveball. Same with the slider. You know, and if he threw that stuff over, you know, he was going to get people out, and he did. You know, we gave him a save opportunity a little bit later, because we had some injuries. I remember Dustin Hermanson had back problem. Bobby came in, but I think Bobby was lucky, because he came on a team where he couldn't enter and be a distraction. You know, he had Jermaine Dye, you had Konerko, you had plenty of veterans around there that could check a young rookie and help him out, straighten him out, and you know, and all of those things. And Bobby obviously became a huge part of us, and the guy that got the final out in game four, you know. He was huge, you know. And I saw people are bitching about ESPN, and they said he was just on the roster. I don't put any credence in any of that crap. You know, Bobby, in the hearts and of all White Sox people and White Sox fans, was one of the main heroes of the 2005 season. And that's not even talking about 6, 7, and 8, where he was very, very good for the White Sox. And then, you know, we traded him. But Bobby was an interesting character. You know, listen, there was one story I remember. This is just a personal one. I remember the first trip he went on. He got on the plane, you know, and he was behind me. You know, I was like in row 4, he was in row 5. And I heard him on the phone talking to somebody. He goes, "You're not going to believe it." He's whoever he's talking to, "You're not going to believe this. They just brought me a whole plate of food, and I'm having a Jack and Coke, and it's free." You know, it was, you know, Bobby enjoys, Bobby likes to have his good time, you know. And Bobby was a challenge for coaches. He was different, but not bad different, you know. Bobby was just a lovable, good, he liked having a good time, he liked playing practical jokes, he liked messing around, and when he got out there, he took care of business, so you had to love him. And he had a good heart. Another story I remember, and I was thinking about this last night, because I knew we were going to talk, and I, you know, it's hard, like, if you don't prepare, you know, a little bit for your answers. Now, we were playing a day game in Milwaukee, and I don't really remember, to tell you the truth. It was regular season, you know, it might have been an exhibition game, but I don't think so. I think it was regular season. We're playing in Milwaukee, and the place, there's hardly anybody in it. And Bobby had this little joke he used to play. He could make a like a bomb, you know, like, and I'm not even going to talk about, like, how he did it. But it would explode. And it wasn't harmful to anybody. It couldn't hurt anybody or anything like that. But it scared the wits out of everybody. And he did a bomb in the bullpen in Milwaukee. And Let me tell you, if he did it nowadays, people would think there was a terrorist attack coming because it was that loud. And he got the biggest kick out of that because it scared the wits out of everybody. In the dugout, I knew what was happening. I knew what he did, you know, and I go, oh, geez. And you know, Ozzy says, hey, we got to get him to cut that out. You know, so I had to call the bullpen and tell Bobby to cut, stop making bombs. You know, it was a loud thing, man, and it just scared the wits and woke everybody up because the place was, there wasn't a lot of people in it, so it was like an echo in this dome. So I mean, that's one of his other things he did. But you know, Bobby again was quite a character. I enjoyed him. He had a great sense of humor. You know, and on top of it all, you know, the biggest thing about everything. He went out and performed. You know, a person's career in baseball, it's really short. You know, Bobby was with us, I think, 6 years. You know, and for me, that's, as a coach, that's a fairly long time. Sometimes it's, you know, not nearly as long as that. Hell, Burley, I think I had 11 years with him. You know, and so you had more time to get to know him, his family, and everything that was going on in his life. The one thing I will say that I'm very comforted in knowing, I've gone to Bible studies with Bobby. Bobby's been saved. Bobby gave his life to Christ. Bobby's been saved. That doesn't mean that you're a good boy all the time. That doesn't mean that you don't sin anymore, but Bobby gave his life to Christ, and I know Bobby's sitting with Christ now.
Hey, Coop, are you coming in for the weekend celebration?
I'm going to talk about Bobby. Yeah. Bobby only.
Okay. I'm just wondering how this will hit everyone. That's all. It just seems like.
You know, listen, I would personally, everybody's going to handle it the way they handle
yes.
it. I wouldn't handle it as a funeral service.
Right,
I would handle it as a celebration of life for Bobby. You know, that's kind of my hopes with that. But I don't know I don't know what's going to happen there. I'm unclear.
Great stuff, Coop. Thank you so much. Great to catch up with you. We love you, and it's great to talk to you.
Good talking to you too. Take care.
That is Don Cooper, the former interim manager, pitching coach. Gosh, that's great stuff.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God!
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Noah, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. What about you?
Oh, we're living the dream over here. I gotta ask you, are you looking forward to going to Vegas? Have you been to Vegas? Do you know about Vegas? And they've got a casino out there called Paris, if you ever really feel like some home food.
No, that's going to be my first time. You know, I've never been to Vegas, so that's going to be fun.
You know, Noah, we had a chance to speak briefly when you were exiting the floor yesterday, and I'll be seeing plenty of you as the broadcaster for the Bulls. But what has your world been like over the last, you know, week and a half since the draft or so? What has it been like? Take us through your journey.
I mean, that was just, you know, coming here makes some people see my new teammates in your organization, see the coaching staff, the medical staff. For everything was ready. And yeah, just visit the city. I go on a boat, you know, do like a little tour of river. That was pretty nice.
Yeah, I saw that. That looked great. I'm just curious, can you tell us a little bit about how you started playing basketball? I read that you were 12. I read that you kind of followed your brother from sport to sport, whether it was judo at one point, whatever he was doing, you ended up doing. And he started with basketball, and then obviously you followed him into that sport as a 12-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that was a little bit like my role model. I just follow him everywhere, in every sport, and one day, yeah, he started playing basketball. So I just say, yeah, why not? I want to try too. And yeah, since when, I just love it, and I just keep going.
Did you grow up as a soccer fan or a soccer player? You know, we think about France and, you know, some of the great, you know, PSG. We think about some of the great World Cup teams, etc. As a growing up in France, are you pushed towards soccer? But boy, I mean, you're obviously very tall. You'd be a hell of a goalkeeper.
Yeah, I love soccer. I think that's my like second favorite sports. You know, I'm a big fan of PSG, and I play soccer, but like not in a club, just, you know, on the street with my friends and all that. But yeah, I'm a big soccer fan.
You know, the France in its own right, as far as basketball is concerned, take me through the process of picking up a ball at 12. And all these French players are coming into the NBA, and not only coming into the NBA, but they're making an impact in the NBA. What is the system like in France as far as the development of young basketball players, both men and women? And, you know, are you, when you observe what's happened in that country, why is it so effective? What is the magic secret sauce, so to speak, about basketball in your country?
I think the main point is just they really teach, like, young people to always, like, working out, go to the gym. Like, yeah, really be consistent on everything you do, like on a court, off the court, you know, don't do like some crazy thing. And yeah, we got like some great organization, like, you know, INSEP in Paris as well, some big club, really like helping people to have like everything in the same place, school and basketball, for have like a double project. And I think that's the main point.
How do they teach you guys to be so tall? You're, depending on where we look, you're 6'9 or 6'10. You're a young man. Are you still growing? Do you think you've got 6'11 in you?
Yeah, I think I'm still growing up a little bit, but I don't know how they do it in France. Like, everybody's pretty tall. I don't know how.
You know, we talked about your playing in the the Bundesliga of basketball in Germany, and the, just the idea that you must have been 16 when you first started with your professional team, which is kind of, you see that all the time with soccer clubs, but you're playing with grown men, right? I mean, last year in the first division, you're playing against guys that are, you know, pretty much significantly older than you. What is it like? You have an advantage with your height, and obviously you're a great athlete, but the, you know, these are big men with meat on their bones. You know, they're guys leaning on you and hitting you. What's the physical nature like of that league?
Yeah, I think that's just helpful. You know, that's helped you to have, like, more confidence, more experience on everything. You know, play against some guy who played in the NBA. This year I played against Pat Bev in Tel Aviv. You know, that's just, like, helpful for everything on basketball. You can just learn how they play, how they read the courts. So I think that's just, like, helpful.
No, and you know, I know the time difference from Chicago to Paris, what is 6-7 hours, whatever the case may be. Did you watch a lot of NBA ball while you were competing in France? I mean, were you cognizant of, you know, this team is on at such and such time, or, you know, there are a few games televised in Paris? How did that work out for you as far as your connection with the NBA?
I think most of the time I'm just watching on the weekend because you got nothing. On the wake up, you know, when I wake up, I go to breakfast. I just turn the TV on and you got like all the recap of the game. So that was like the time I watched like the game, NBA game and all that in US.
How much did you know about the Bulls before the draft? Did you know much about the team or the players or...
Yeah, you know, we talk a lot, so I know a little bit about franchise. You know, that's something, like, really big. That's one of the best ones of the world. So, yeah, I know the history. I know the team. I already know, like, you know, the coach and all that. So I was a little bit ready.
You know, it's kind of fascinating to hear you tell the way that you picked your number. So, obviously, you're 24. You had been 12. And you doubled that up because you're not going to be able to get 12. But you also doing a nod to Kobe Bryant, and you have talked about the Mamba mentality. What does that mean to you? Explain that to us.
I mean, for me, you know, that's mean everything. You know, I love this mentality, always working hard, no matter what. If you're in a bad mood, on a good mood, like if you play well, if you play bad, always go to the gym. Work on everything, every aspect of your game, and always compete. I think that's the most important thing. Like, on the court, off the court, I always, like, want to win. So, that's why.
All right, I've got two quick questions for you, Noah. Number one, how is practice going? What is practice like for you?
I mean, that's going pretty well. We do a lot of, right now we do a lot of, you know, collective, I'll be ready for Vegas. But the first week I do a lot of, like, individual practice, like, you know, shooting, dribble, and all that stuff. But that's been pretty good.
Okay, so one other question I've got for you. You're 18 years old, and a lot of 18-year-old young people enjoy video games. They like to do other stuff. What do you do when you're not playing basketball?
I mean, I just, you know, try to talk with my family because, yeah, like you say, with the timeline difference, you know, we got like 7 hours, so we don't have that much time for talking. So I just try, yeah, to talk with them, call them, play video games with them.
I read somewhere that your mom's in town with you right now. Is she going to be saying, will she be here during the season? What is your arrangement once the year begins?
Yeah, she stayed for the first year.
Oh, great. That's awesome. You get home cooking and you have everyone needs their mom around them, for God's sake. That's wonderful.
I mean, what was the longest duration you've spent in the United States? Did you ever come to the United States prior to being drafted?
No, I don't have any tryouts, but I come a few times. You know, I come last year for BWB, and I also come like some few times for just workouts on summer or for holiday.
So we know that everyone says, anyway, that you can pretty much defend any position on the floor. And your defense is the best thing about your game, but you're also a great finisher at the rim. You can block shots. We keep hearing that you're really good passing the basketball. You got some handle. What are you proudest about in your game?
I mean, just, you know, my versatility, like the way I can play multiple positions. I think that's the most thing right now.
How are you working on your scoring? Do you consider yourself a good scorer? Does it come easily to you? Or is it more difficult? What can you tell us about your offense?
No, for sure, I work on it. Yeah, like I said, I do a lot of individual practice for be ready, like shooting, dribble, finishing close to the rim, because you can always get better at everything. So I always work on it.
Noah, you know what? There are NBA moments, and I'm sure as a young man growing up watching NBA players, is there one player, I'm not saying compare yourself to other players because that's not fair to you, but is there one player you're looking forward to when you step on the floor where you're face-to-face with him and say to yourself, I can't believe I'm actually here and I'm standing right next to this guy. Who would that next guy be?
I would say Paul George. Yeah, that's like my favorite player. So, yeah, just can compete against him. That's going to be good.
You know, it's really fun to hear about your competitiveness and particularly how, you know, you and Matas Bezalis have competed against each other in practice, not just played together. And I think that as a tandem, that's going to be a ton of fun to see on Friday night. But what about going against him? Has that helped you thus far?
Yeah, I think that's really good. He already played 1 year in NBA. He played really good. He can do everything on the court. And, you know, he's also pretty young, so that's like a little bit like my role model here. So I had tried to be like close to him, talk a lot, we exchange a lot in practice, after practice. So, yeah, that's really nice to can, you know, compete against each other and just help each other to get better.
Well, you know what? We're looking forward to seeing you, and I'm delighted the fact that, you know, you're not only energetic on the court, but also, I mean, just hearing your voice, and you're very humble, and you're very grateful, and I think that's obviously a testimony to the way you grew up with your family and whatnot. So, you know, welcome to Chicago. You took the boat ride. What else have you done in the city, or have you had?
He threw out the first pitch.
You threw out the first pitch.
And, yeah, right.
Do you like baseball?
That was my first baseball game. That was pretty nice. I don't understand everything, but that was pretty nice.
That's all right, because I'll tell you what, we don't understand everything that goes on from time to time during a baseball game. But
wait till we get you to a football game.
Yeah. Do you know anything about the Chicago Bears?
No.
You wait. Until you see the National Football League, Noah. I mean, I don't think the NFL has played a game in Paris.
No, I don't think they've been in France yet.
Yes.
But there is that World League, wasn't there?
Yeah.
They did some stuff.
So, Noah, you know, the Bulls played the Pistons in Paris a few years ago.
Right.
I was fortunate enough to call that game. Were you at that game?
Yeah, I was there because, you know, my agent worked with Kylian Ace, so I was at the game.
And here, you know, fast forward, here you are a member of the Bulls. But I loved being in Paris for a week. It's such a wonderful, wonderful city.
Yeah, that's an amazing city.
Hey, Noah, congratulations. Thanks for joining us, and best of luck moving forward. We're going to have a lot of fun watching you, and we're delighted you're in town.
Thank you.
All right, Noah, let you go. Thank you.
See you, Noah. That's great
stuff.
Have
a good day.
You too, buddy. How about that?
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Jason Leisure's still here.
Hello.
Jason Leisure.
I will fight Chris Emma in Starbucks. I will fight him in a Panera, a Dunkin' Donuts, a Quiznos, a White Hen, a Schlotsky's. Name the time, name the place, I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Sounds good.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I know if I write something really critical, I'm back in there next day and I will see that person face to face. So I better write responsibly. That doesn't mean pull punches.
No.
But that means what you write needs to be well supported, and it shouldn't be something that you'd have a problem saying to that person's face.
Jason Leisure.
To Wyoming or Montreal, and two totally different types of trips, and I went with the Old West mountains and bears and bisons and type trip. You know, this is my rugged wilderness story. I got a good scrape, good gash on my leg from one of our expeditions. And by expedition, I mean that the rental car was a Ford Expedition, and I caught my leg on the door at one point and got a little scrape.
Boy, that's the kind of thing that could only happen in Wyoming. All right? Yeah.
Only there. That's their postcard. That's their slogan speech. Only in Wyoming.
I mean,
only in Wyoming could you catch yourself in the leg when you're shutting your door to your truck.
You got to understand something. If we leave the country, there's no coming back here. Is there any special country you want to go to?
Wyoming.
What? No, Wyoming. That's not a country. That's all right. I'm going to take care of it.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Tanny's got a drop for everything. Jason Leisure joining us here on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. There's a lot that I would like to talk with Jason Leisure about, but Spiegs has got a ton of football stuff that he wants to throw at you first, so I'm just going to leave it to my partner here.
Thank you. I have something to throw at Spiegs, too, so after we're done with this.
All right. Oh, well, look, we got something. Everybody's got something for everybody.
Pew, pew, pew.
This is the way it's supposed to work. Jason, last year, the Chicago Bears offensive line had a ranking throughout the season on Pro Football Focus of like 22. Every once in a while, they'd be up at like 20. Sometimes they'd be down at like 25 from week to week. I am looking at the ProFootballFocus.com NFL offensive line rankings right now on the 7th of July. Would you care to hazard a guess, or do you know where they have the Chicago Bears new look offensive line?
Oh, let's see. You said they're usually low 20s. They've made some improvements. I'm going to guess 18th.
They would be fourth in the
my goodness.
In the entire NFL. The Eagles, the Broncos, the Bills, and then the Bears. Things are set to look a lot different in Chicago. Not only is the offensive line remolded, it's also perhaps the most improved unit in the NFL. And they talk about Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright as being already a promising young duo before they get to the guys in the middle. I'm excited about the guys in the middle, but just throwing Braxton Jones, we have no idea who the left tackle is.
No one's seen Braxton Jones, including Jason Leisure.
One of the things I learned all the years doing Levitard show is that if somebody ever asks you to guess something and you actually do know the answer, you have to guess wildly off. Otherwise, it's very anticlimactic.
It's very Stugatz of you.
Yes. If Spiegs is like, can you guess where the Bears are? And I'm like, well, I just read they were fourth. And then he would be like, oh, well, that was it.
That killed the bit.
Good job.
You have to guess way high if it's low, and guess way low if it's high.
Nice work. So you knew they were fourth. It's outrageous, isn't it?
It's incredible because I don't remember the last time they were top 10. Not in the time I've been covering them. I don't think they have been. Even in 2018, were they top 10? They might have been. It's been a struggle. They've gone cheap across two administrations now, tried to go cheap or try with either low salary cap investment or late draft picks for some of those spots. But I think I assume that they're assuming Braxton Jones is healthy. And man, fourth seems so high. I could see him being top half of the league if we're assuming Braxton Jones is a starting left tackle. But there's a lot to like there. I mean, we all like Darnell Wright at right tackle. And on paper, this is a very good interior offensive line. With the acquisitions, the trade acquisitions of Tooney and Jackson and signing Drew Dahlman.
I think we've probably given Jackson a little bit more credit than he might deserve considering his play last year. And I get it's a position change.
And it's a Detroit familiarity thing.
Yeah, I know.
That's why we're giving him
the Ben Johnson bump. I think everybody is, including the Bears, including Ryan Poles in the checkbook. I think those interior linemen, it's something like $160 million over the next 3 years is on the books for them. I mean, that better get you in the top 10. And it's interesting to see them ranked that high, Spiegs, without definitive word on who the starting left tackle is even going to be. I mean, you talk about Braxton Jones, and is he going to come back healthy? I mean, even if he does, he might not be the guy. But I think that an upgraded interior with Darnell Wright on the right side, and a baseline, a bare minimum of Braxton Jones or better at left tackle, that's pretty good. Fourth feels high, but definitely top half of the league makes sense to me.
Can you give me that list one more time? The top five speaks?
The top five.
Because there was a line that I was like, wait, did I miss them?
It starts with the Eagles, and then it goes to the Broncos. The Denver Broncos! Buffalo Bills. The Chicago Bears at four, the Indianapolis Colts at five.
Little surprised the Ravens aren't on there, considering the type of running game that they provided last year and you would expect would provide this year.
All the way down at 17.
Okay.
That's weird, man.
All right. So, yeah. Do we know what the Bears offensive line was ranked last year? Preseason. We need to find that out.
Preseason, I think they were 10 last year because the Bears, they dominate the offseason. We're back-to-back offseason champs here, Leisure.
Everyone, including the Bears and including me, was overly optimistic about their offensive line last year. I didn't think 10th, but I thought league average. I thought that would be a league average offensive line last year, and it wasn't even close. Well, it was not even close.
I would quibble with that. I think they probably were around league average, and I know that the sack total is high, but I think that we have the quarterback copping to the fact that he played a major role, salute, in that sack number being as high as it was. They were not good, but I don't think that they were an absolute disaster last year.
Depends what the grading you use is. I mean, if I'm looking at that, I'm saying Nate Davis, complete zero, and Braxton Jones didn't get better before he got hurt. And those are huge problems. I mean, you thought Nate Davis would be good when he played, and then it turns out he barely ever played. And you thought Braxton Jones would be at least a little bit better, and I don't think he was. I think he was headed toward a pretty bad season if he hadn't
if he had stayed healthy and been on the field. It wasn't going well at the time he got hurt.
I use Lawrence Football Focus, LFF. It's a new thing that's going on, and people seem to like it. So, you know, I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah, Chris Collinsworth, okay. Big fan of yours.
He's going to invest.
Yeah, I think so.
But what you notice with all the good offensive lines,
like 500 bucks.
When you look at Philly and Detroit and Baltimore, and all, it's huge investment. It's not a bunch of smoke and mirrors. It's not a bunch of, oh, we found this guy that no one else wants. Here's Sam Mustafa at center, and here's Braxton Jones, a late-round pick out of a college you've never heard of. It's all first- and second-round picks and big, expensive free agents.
That's true. This is the time for list because we're in the dark period before camp starts, and we only got two more weeks before camp starts. At least the Bears camp start. One camp will start next week, or two camps will start next week because the Hall of Fame game is on the way. But this is the time of year where we start looking at lists. The top 100 will come out, and people won't be on it. We went through a list yesterday of the 25 under 25, and Caleb wasn't on it, which was I was wondering if that was surprising or not surprising that he wouldn't be on a top 25 under 25.
Who made the list?
Hold on.
Who wrote the list?
Steve Palazzolo, formerly of Pro Football Focus.
But not currently of Lawrence Football Focus.
No, but he might be available, though.
He might be. I'll have to see if I can get him.
There were two quarterbacks in the top five, C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels, but that was it for the entire top 25.
Very worthy picks, both of them. Lawrence, would you agree that the national media, when it comes to Caleb Williams, is at least moderately tilted against him?
I think there is a large contingent of people who have been looking for the confirmation bias of their pre-draft feelings on Caleb Williams. Yes.
And I think if that's what you want, then you can pull that. You could extrapolate that from last season and you can say, well, he held the ball too long. He was too tentative. You know, the interception streak is nice, but, you know, you have to take shots downfield. And it takes none of the problems into account. It takes none of the absolute incompetent coaching from top to bottom, other than probably Thomas Brown. It takes none of that into account. It takes none of the O-line problems into account. None of DJ Moore's inconsistency or moodiness into account. None of the failures of the running game into account. None of the defense's late season just complete collapse, so that you're playing basically out of the shotgun, trying to throw back into games starting in the second quarter. Takes none of that into account.
Do you watch the quarterback show on Netflix?
No, I don't. And I know it's popular, and I'm sure it's really good, but I get enough football.
It was really good last year, Lawrence. You watched
episode today.
Is that where Cousins said that he felt misled by the Falcons?
Kirk Cousins, I find that he's really great on this, and it makes me like him more than I want to on this show. But watching the Jared Goff stuff, like I'm trying to watch it and you know, kind of reverse engineering some stuff, Speaks, because I figure if I watch what Jared Goff is doing, I'll find out more about Ben Johnson, and maybe we'll have some content that we can bring to the people that aren't watching it.
I think that's thoroughly fair. That's good.
Like but hearing Jared Goff still be mad about the trade, like he was as honest as I've
mad
heard.
About the Rams trade.
He felt like he was not. That they did not communicate well with him.
Wow.
And that they kind of left him out on an island, and that he had talked with Sean McVay, and 30 seconds later it was on Twitter. Like, he was real mad about that still. And seeing, like, we've joked about the way that he's been embraced in Detroit. I didn't realize to the depth of it that now Jared Goff chants start at Red Wings games and Tigers games. Like, and it's just become kind of a thing. And I think that that's cool for a guy that really didn't spend any time anywhere other than California through, you know, his first 25 years of life, to now find a place that where people like him and he feels at home. I think it's kind of dope.
But he's still mad about the trade. Like, what part of that resonates with you, Lawrence? Because I know that I have gotten a raw deal at work before, and I think everybody has at different points. But after a certain point, I mean, that trade was 5 years ago. After a certain point, usually, I mean, everything works out. Sometimes those bad things that happen are the best thing that could have happened.
And it's clearly the best thing that could have happened.
It opens the door to something that never could have happened otherwise. And since going to Detroit, he has gotten his money. He has gotten his winning. He has gotten great individual improvement.
Found himself like you said, wife.
It's also like no, you said,
he's completely beloved there. So, I mean, where would you guys fall on that, on still being mad 5 years later when it has worked out so well for
you? I get it, because it's about process. It's about I took what happened and I did my best with what happened, and it's worked out for both teams, right?
It depends what drives him, though. Like, for me to sit in the negative headspace of some time getting screwed 5 years ago. Is it about 5 years ago? Yeah, it is. Like, I mean, for some reason, it's like that doesn't do me any good. I don't function well in that headspace. You know what I mean? So I don't want to sit in that. But maybe he does. Maybe he's using that for his edge.
I didn't get the sense that he's using it. The way it came off to me was, I trusted all of these people, and no one here told me what was going on, and I'm frustrated by that.
I get it.
The way that he talked about Brad Holmes, and because he was like, that day when it was announced, he said he kept getting calls from a number that he didn't recognize, and he didn't want to pick up the phone. And then he was like, oh, and it was Brad Holmes. He's like, we're so excited to have you, Jarrett. Like, we are so. And then Dan Campbell called him, and the way that they approached smoothing that part of it over, like, instead of him feeling like it was an exile, it made him feel like he was welcome in that place. I thought that was kind of a cool introspective thing to find out about him.
That is a rare example to that trade of it's so unusual in the NFL for one team or one person to know something that everybody else doesn't. I think it's a fatal mistake that GMs make, thinking I know something that the other 31 don't, because it's usually just not the case. And that was, because I remember thinking, okay, well, that's just, they've got to take something back salary-wise to make this work. They're going to need a starting quarterback as they go in their rebuild, and I'm sure they're going to draft one the next year. And I still kept thinking every year, do the Lions not realize they need to draft a quarterback? And they were right.
So, Jason, when you were out in Wyoming, did you see sunrise over the turquoise mountains, messenger birds in sight? I mean, did you see, like, beauty? Did you see true beauty that you've been able to bring back here with you and feel in your everyday Chicagoland life?
For me, it was a great appreciation of the outdoors, of a landscape that you don't usually, that you don't see here. And I think Lawrence has the same affinity. I don't know about you, Spiegs, if you're into this too, but when you go out west to like Arizona, Colorado, California, just driving around out there has such a different feel to it.
It's quiet. Like, part of the reason that I love going to Arizona and to Vegas, to be honest, usually outside of Vegas where I go hiking, is because it's quiet. And it's such a difference from what I'm used to. Like, I spent my whole life in a place where it's big buildings and a beautiful lake. So to go someplace where you have like a fun like cityscape where there's mountains in the backgrounds and there's these oranges and reds and yellows like in your periphery, and the sun shines 315 days
there's that
out of the year, like that part helps quite a bit. I enjoyed, Jason and I were on Fox with Tina Nguyen on Sunday, and I enjoyed getting the other part of the story of Wyoming. It's the stuff the stuff that your daughter said about the trip.
Oh, man, my kids love to run their mouths. Well, they get that from their mother.
Whoa!
Wow.
Hey!
Wow, it's a good thing she doesn't listen to this at all.
No, that's not true at all, actually. I'm the one that has a microphone in front of me 24-7.
Seriously, chatterbox.
My wife is not like that at all.
I just loved how your oldest daughter played ombudsman to your lies about the Wyoming trip. And you're like, oh, yeah, it was great. She's like, yeah, it was great and unorganized. Let me tell you about my father and his lack of organization when it comes to these trips.
That was true.
Yeah.
That was very true. I thought I was busy, you know, making the money that pays for these trips.
Oh, my God.
And, you can't just, like, wing it in Yellowstone. I think it's, like, thousands of square miles or something.
Yeah, yeah. You need a plan. You need a plan.
You're not just going to show them, like, well, let's just drive around so we see some stuff, kid. I think my kids view you as the public record on my life, Lawrence, because this is not the first time my kids have felt like they needed to make sure you had the facts and information about me.
I'm happy to be that resource for them because they're brilliant children. And I like the fact that they're like, that's not what happened at all. And your daughter explaining how you guys had to go to coffee and she had to figure out what it is that you guys were going to do next.
Oh boy, yeah, that's rough. That's
everything I do, these kids are like, all right, we're telling. We need to immediately report this to Grandma and Dion Miller and Lawrence Holm.
In that order? In that order? That is, Grandma? Yes.
That's the order.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, they definitely tell Dion on Jason. They will tell her all the time about stuff he's out here doing.
Man, you gotta be careful because your kids will speak truths, and it's dangerous. It can be very dangerous when they do.
They allow Tony to be Tony though, which I do think is interesting.
Who, Tony Gill?
Yeah. Your Tony daughters is... love Tony, and they allow him to just be him. The rest of us, they give us a higher standard.
Yes. Tony is married, and there's a component there where his wife brings, much like my own marriage, his wife brings a lot of respectability to the equation.
Oh, that's the most important thing a sports human can do, is marry somebody like that. You need that.
I think that they kind of let a lot of Tony stuff go because they know that Steph is policing this and making sure everything stays on track.
So where are we on the Bears schedule? Like how far away are we from camp? Lawrence, did you say 2 weeks? Something like that?
Don't the rookies report on the 19th?
Man.
I think regular camp starts. I think the whole team reports 2 weeks from today. I think the whole team is on the 22nd, and then the first practice is on the 23rd. And they've got 2 weeks of practice before they start getting into joint practices.
Yep. Yeah.
They shouldn't need any more practice on that. I mean,
first public practice is July 25th.
Okay.
So,
but it's super interesting because that in those first 2 weeks, you're going to start to get the answers that you want. You don't have to wait all the way to the opener in September to find out who Ben Johnson likes at certain positions. They're not going to still be toying around with ideas at left tackle, for example. 2 weeks in, they need to get set and get some continuity among those guys. So you're going to start seeing who's getting the reps, who's getting the ball when they're in passing drills, and who's starting at left tackle.
Yeah,
it speaks the NFL is early this year. The Hall of Fame game is July 31st.
Oh man, that's crazy. So I'm going
up against the trade deadline.
I'm going to have to rage against the dying of the light that is the baseball season a little bit earlier than I normally do.
No, not with a contending Cubs team.
I will not go gentle into that good night.
Speaks, you got a contending Cubs team. There'll be plenty of opportunity for us to pat our heads and rub our tummies or whatever that is. The other way around, rub our heads and pat our tummies.
At the same time. Yeah, right, exactly.
Whatever that thing is.
Yeah, you do the
you top also have a red hot White Sox team. 4 wins in their last 9 games.
Ooh,
that
boy.
Is smoking on the south side.
We actually have a Sox adjacent thing that we need
4
to
and
do.
5 in our last 9 sounds like something Matt Eberflus would throw out there as, hey, it's not as bad as it looks.
Let's go to our list. All right. Let's do it.
What would be his nickname for Luis Robert?
Hurdy. Hurdy's back. Hey, soft tissue. Come here,
I'm gonna
soft
call
tissue.
You untradeable. Oh, well, he called himself that.
Yeah, he really did.
He did.
Come here, untradeable.
He's got a couple of weeks to get it right, though.
The nicknames would not be that creative. They'd be you're spiky and you're batty and you're glovey. I'm going to call you Rosenbag.
Hey, Glovey.
Yeah. Because you pitch is the only reason.
Coach, we all have gloves. Well, whatever, but you're the one I see most often with it. Thank you, Jason.
What's going on there, stirrups? You going to get a hit today? All right. Pat on the head. On to the next guy.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk
Thanks,
to you, Jason.
See you guys.
Later.
It's Jason Leisure. He's actually going to sit in for you next week.
Yeah, in a couple days. I'm taking a couple days during the All-Star break off.
Now, we're certain that it's only the two, right?
I'll get back to you. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, real nice baseball guy. The toughest time. Like, hey, I'm out of here.
Hey, man. I've always been the guy who covers, I'm going to college. I mean, all the way back in the day. Now I'm going to college.
Don't worry, Tanny. I got a whole week of Is Caleb Good?
We get to talk with the Cubs manager a couple times a month, and it's always nice when we do. Craig Counsell joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Joining us from Minneapolis, St. Paul, is Cubs manager Craig Counsell. Hey, Craig, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
So that was 2 weeks ago, last time we talked to you, and I was fishing around looking for anxiety confirmation. Got the old no. And that was after two Cardinals losses. Then you guys came back and won the next two games in St. Louis. Now, I was looking at this, Craig. After games where the Cubs score one or fewer runs, you guys are 9-3 in the 12 games that follow that and have scored an average of almost 7 runs per game in those 12 games. What is it about this bunch, you think, that shows an ability to bounce back from games like, say, last night in Minnesota?
Well, that's like kind of just fun with numbers. I mean, it's there's nothing. I mean, I think this is a good baseball team, and I think it's, you know, you just try to be consistent and you're going to have some bad nights. Last night was a bad night in a 162 game schedule. It's the way it works. You know, your job is to, in baseball, you got, you know, Joe Maddon was great at saying this. You got 30 minutes after a game to enjoy it or be mad about it, and then it's over and you move on to what's next.
Our segment with Craig Counsell is sponsored by the all-new Toyota on Edens in Northbrook. Visit Toyota on Edens. .com. Last night in the post game, you talked about how you guys were going to go take a look at what was going on with Porter Hodge. What's that like? Are you actually looking at the tape, or are you counting on everyone else in the pitching apparatus to look at the tape and then give you kind of what they think they need to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of both. It's just kind of reviewing the outing, and it's also, I think, taking the emotion out of the outing. You know, when you walk in here right after 20 minutes after it happens, I think it's important to just take a little time and make sure we got emotion out of everything and look at it with just a clear set of eyes. So that's important. We've decided that we've put Porter on the injured list just kind of looking at some more things and talking to Porter. And I don't think it's anything major, but I think we're dealing with a little shoulder stuff that we want to we just got to get it out of there and have him kind of clear-headed as he takes the mound.
Wow, that's interesting. So Porter Hodge to the injured list, because there had been some talk about whether he was tipping pitches a little bit last night. But so Craig, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was originally for Porter a couple months ago, an oblique injury, and then it was a hip impingement, and now it's the shoulder. Is that correct? And are all those things connected in any way in your mind?
Yeah, that's right. Are they connected? I think that's the question you always ask with injuries. I don't think there's a direct connection, but there's always small areas, they call it the chain of, you know, events of pitching is the kinetic chain that, you know, you need your whole body to pitch. So obviously things can affect each other and you protect one thing and that puts more stress on another area of the body. So could be, you don't get definitive answers in those areas.
As the game was going on, were you guys looking at him and going, something just seems off, other than the results of the pitch? Like, were you guys going, not sure what's happening there?
Well, the results weren't very good, so that, clearly makes you kind of ask questions. But I think it's one of those situations where, there's some red flags and we're just, and you're, or they're not, maybe not red flags, yellow flags maybe is a better way to say it. And I think a lot of guys have yellow flags during the season, right? That's part of a season. But you're monitoring it. But if at some point it doesn't turn the corner, you got to do something different.
Are you able to tell us what the corresponding roster move is, Craig, to Porter going on the injured list?
Ethan Roberts.
So back up for the bullpen. Ethan Roberts. Craig Counsell here with us on Spiegel and Holmes. The bullpen has been so good. Fifth best bullpen ERA in baseball. 26th in K rate. So what's the correct takeaway from those numbers, if there's anything, for us guys who like to have fun with numbers? What are we supposed to take away from that?
What would you like to take away from it?
I think my takeaway is that, boy, the defense has been good and they must be getting some bad contact if they're not necessarily striking that many people out.
Let's go with that.
Okay. Does that concern you when the bullpen's been this good?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think everybody would love, a 40% strikeout rate from every pitcher we have. We'd love the elite strikeout rates. it's, you know, there's no luck involved on a strikeout. Like, can't fall in there. Like on Brad Keller's last outing, you can't, guy can't hit a blooper if it's a strikeout. And so that's ideal. The other really good result is getting people out. And that's what we're doing really well. And a good defense contributes to that. And that's a way to get people out. That's a way to make your pitching staff better, is to have a really good defense. So, you know, that's where we're at. You know, we want to keep inducing weak contact and keep getting people out. That's, we're going to be in good shape.
Craig, with the All-Star announcements, like, obviously we knew that, that Tucker and PCA had an opportunity, but I don't want to go over the fact that PCA made an All-Star team. Like, it's a big deal. What was it like having him, being able to share that news with him and his reaction to it?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime, you know, you have a young player, and this happened so quickly here for Pete, and just to see kind of what he's done in the last 2 months, it's been special. So I think we've all kind of been on that. It's been a quick ride with Pete, and it's been fun. And what he's done this year has been, it's just been a joy to watch. And he's, I think for fans of baseball, it's been a joy. So it's fun. I mean, I think we get to watch Pete every day, and it's a thrill, and we want to continue doing it. And the All-Star game is just, you know, one nod to Pete about, like, you're doing great things. You know, the beauty of, like, sports and stuff is that, like, there's the challenge gets thrown in the next day of, you know, do it again. But, you know, hopefully when he, next week in Atlanta, he gets to enjoy a couple days and soak it all in.
It's a pretty cool spectrum of All-Stars that you have, where you have Pete that's kind of at the beginning of his career, and Kyle Tucker is close to becoming a free agent. And then you have Matthew Boyd, like this guy that you guys saw something in, and he's come in and he's delivered. For a manager to have that wide of a spectrum of guys going to the All-Star game, what's that feel like to share it with, knowing that these guys are in such different places in their career?
Matt Boyd is a cool one, just because, you know, there's the 34-year-old first-time All-Star, that's not very common, right? And I thought it's just a great lesson to, you know, to anybody. Just when things aren't going your way, you got to show up and you have a good day, and then all of a sudden you put yourself in a position where the result of all those good days you put in, even though you weren't getting the results you wanted, turn into something really good for a stretch of time. And that's what's happened with Matt. And it doesn't happen without kind of putting in all those thousands of good days when it's not that fun and nobody's, you know, wants to interview you after the game or tell you how good you are. So that's cool. And I think Matt's, you know, had a heck of a first half, or more than first half now, 18 starts. It's been fun to watch him go out there and give us a big chance to win every single time he's taking the ball.
We're hoping Seiya Suzuki finds a way in. How do you lead the league in RBIs and not make the All-Star game?
Yeah, I mean, it's, well, there's some good players in the league, and there's players having great years, and so it's picking a team is always hard, and it's unfortunate because I do think Seiya is no doubt deserving. You know, I think he understands that, but, you know, we've got 4 or 5 more days for something to happen, and we obviously don't want other guys to get hurt, but hopefully gets a nod here in the next couple of days.
His Cubs career has been really consistent. When you start looking at a guy whose OPS is over 800 in all the years that he's been here, I know it's not just one thing that has a guy make a jump like this. What are the elements inside of what happened between the end of last season to now that has Seiya being this player?
Well, I think one of the things is I think the lineup around him has helped Seiya. I think he's in the beneficiary great position of hitting with a lot of guys on base, and, you know, Kyle ahead of him has a, you know, what, 390 or so on base percentage. And that's just means at least 40% of your bats, you got somebody on, and that's, but it's just by one hitter. Right. I think that's helped. I think, and he's understood that, you know, when there's players on base, that like it's swinging the bat that gets the job done, right? I swing the bat and we score. And I think that's just kind of turned him a little more aggressive. And it's not that it's that confidence. The aggression's really got him to the pull side more is kind of what it's done. And anybody that strong pulls the ball in the air, there's going to be good things are going to happen.
Let's go back to the bullpen with Craig Counsell here on Spiegel and Holmes. How do you think John Birdie improved from outing number one to outing number two? Was it something mechanical or pitch mix? Because the numbers are better.
Yeah, we had that was when we didn't have to wait a long time after the game to discuss. We had a long conversation with John about that. No, he threw a little harder last night, actually.
He did. Yeah, he did, because I know the plan the first time,
He was floating it up there like 45 the last time, and he was in the 60s last night.
And he was thinking about BP, like he wanted to be slower than batting practice the first time, and then you guys changed that. Is that right, Craig?
Well, yeah, he changed it. Yeah, he realized he wasn't throwing enough strikes, and he's like, well, I just throw strikes and see what happens. I think that's kind of the goal. You're not going to get guys out with stuff in that role. slow, fast, anything. It's not going to be stuff. It's you want guys swinging the bat and you'll catch enough balls.
Who's the best position player pitcher that you've seen in your baseball career, if you remember? It's the important stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I mean, you always just want options from my seat, right? Just some guys that are willing to do it. And then once in a while, you'll have the, you know, like Pete will say, I want to pitch. And I'll say, there's no chance you're pitching, Pete. But you just want to have options. And when you have options and they get the job done, it's sometimes, honestly, it can, you know, just take the sting off the loss a little bit, and turn the page a little bit, and then just save the bullpen a little bit.
What, since we like talking about anxiety on this show, what's the anxiety for a batter facing a position player as pitcher?
Well, I mean, I can describe mine.
That's what I was hoping.
As a player, yeah, I struck out once against Jeff Cirillo, who was throwing knuckleballs. And then I think that's why you see so many early swings in those situations, right? Because it's like sometimes you're avoiding the worst result, which is like, don't strike out. That's part of life, right? So you'll see a lot of early swings. So I started swinging early there, and then actually you have a lot of success too.
What kind of stuff does Pete say that he has, Craig?
I think Pete would have pretty good stuff. I mean, he's got a very good arm. Yeah, I mean, he could touch 90 if he wanted, for sure.
Yeah, I've heard the story about, like, one time he was kicking around a soccer ball at spring training, and somebody went, it was Jed. Jed tells the story. Jed goes up and says, oh, did you play soccer? He said, yeah, I played a lot of soccer. And Jed's like, were you good? And Pete said, I was really good.
That doesn't shock me,
no,
though.
No, of course not.
Of course he would be good.
Of course.
So Craig, we were having a conversation with Nico yesterday about him lining up the cycle, and that there was an opportunity for a natural cycle. And then we got into a fun little baseball thing about cycles versus perfect games and no hitters and things like that. Then last night we have an inside the park home run walk off and another inside the park home run that happened in a game. For you, a baseball lifer, what's your favorite kind of weird baseball anomaly that you love to see happen?
Yeah, I mean, the triple play, probably, if we're on the pitching side, I would say is the big one. I think it's a great play. I the triple play would probably be the one that I would like.
All right, do you want your triple play 5-4-3, or do you want a line out with guys off base?
5-4-3, yeah. 5-4-3, because lots of guys, three guys involved, pitcher involved. Multiple runners on, like changes an inning. So yeah, 5-4-3. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exciting with all three bases in play and everybody's doing their thing.
All that movement that's going on.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah. I still think this is not like an uncommon baseball play, but like probably the favorite, maybe common is like the bases loaded and a ball in the gap. Like I love that play, 'cause there's just so much going on around the field. Like, is there a play at the plate? Is there going to be a triple? Like, I think that's a great baseball play with a ton going on.
Yeah, it is, because like, where's the relay throw going? Is the pitcher going behind the catcher, or should he be going behind third base to back up? Like, there's all kinds of stuff going on that play. Hey, PCA has been a topic the last 24 hours on the station, because sometimes young players will show frustration, and Pete, sometimes after a strikeout, it happens Saturday, the bat gets kind of thrown on the ground, the helmet gets thrown, maybe picks up the helmet, throws it again, that kind of thing. Is that something that you as a manager have talked about with him, or something that you consider talking about with him?
Yeah, I mean, does it bother you?
It does, actually, a little bit. And I like Pete so much. I love his game so much. So I try not to be, you know, grizzly old baseball police jackass.
Yeah. But you were yesterday.
Well, come on. Am I?
Definitely baseball police yesterday.
No, but it's just.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Like, I guess what I think is, you know, I think we want our players to be perfect, right? And then you obviously coach them to be better versions of themselves. But you know, I think we also as people have like blessings and curses, right? So I think the blessing Pete shows every day is like he plays with a lot of emotion, and as a fan you feel that emotion, as a coach you feel that emotion, and it's wonderful, right? We love it. I think to assume there's going to be nothing on the other side of that is not fair to Pete in a lot of ways. So I think Pete's always trying to get better at that stuff. But I think we also should give him some grace as he tries to improve on it.
Well, that's a beautiful answer. That's a very human answer, and thinking about the man as a person, that makes all the sense in the world, because you've known people like that who are great for the same reasons that they might be problematic, because that's how people work, right?
Yeah, I think it's how we all work. Our blessings and our curses are kind of right next to each other a lot of times in life, and when we take them too far, they get us in trouble.
Yeah, I feel you on that, Craig. Since we were talking about the All-Stars and Seiya, there's one more guy that I wanted to bring up. The growth that you've seen in Michael Busch, how do you describe it? Like, well, what do you see in the player that the end of last year and had a really solid year, and now to take this jump where he has a legit case to be an All-Star?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in Michael's case, it was a little like, I think it was a little more predictable, because he has such a good foundation as a hitter, right? And essentially, to me, what's happened, as you know, from year to year, is he's just kind of closed or shrunk some of the holes, like in the strike zone. So he's just become better in more areas of the strike zone, and they're just really subtle, kind of like improvements on his just mechanically and probably experience a little bit from just going around the league. He's just subtly just gotten a little better. So, you know, his hot zone, so to speak, is just a little bit bigger, and his really cold zone is just a little bit smaller. He's able to hit a foul ball on that pitch instead of swing and miss, right? And that makes a difference. Get yourself another pitch, another area for the pitcher to make a mistake. And then he's, you know, throw one in his really good zone, and it's going to be problems.
What's the advice for someone going back home and having a large contingent of people being in a stadium that you grew up wanting to play in for a guy like Michael Busch?
Yeah, I mean, I think Michael's, he's, you know, 2 years into his big league career, essentially. So, I wasn't really worried about it yesterday. I think, look, it's a funny one. It's like, it's almost, I think the sense you get when you look at it wrong is like, now these now my family knows I actually play in the big leagues. even though they've seen you on TV a lot and they've seen you at other places, but like when you do it at home, it's like, yeah, now it's real. So you know, you kind of put some false stuff on it, but it's really, I think it's you want to make it special for your family. I mean, I think that's the thing you always think is, you know, they're proud of you. You know, they're super happy for you. You know, they're just super happy, right, to be there and watch you do this. So, you know, you hopefully just let them enjoy it. And I think, you know, if Michael could have gone 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts, and it'd been a pretty cool day for his family.
Speaking of family, I hope Brady Council gets drafted. What's the feeling in your house and your circle as the draft approaches and you've got a dog in the fight? It's a different kind of thing, I'm sure.
Yeah, we just fired Bob Sugar, the agent, so we're going with Jerry Maguire now. So we'll see what happens.
He will actually really care about your client. I've seen that.
Who's coming with me?
Yeah, that's what Jerry's great at that. He is.
Yeah, he cares a lot. Craig, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck tonight against the Twins.
All right, thanks guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Craig.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.